السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. شكرا، السلام عليكم.
آمين وإياكم. الله يوسف، هذا
الحمد لله بخير.
بكويكم ولدت لك.
نعم يا شيخنا.
طيب، إن الحمد لله نحمده.
شيخنا.
ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. In continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail, we are still on the chapter regarding مَنْ مَعْتَ لَهُ سَقْتٌ أَوْ ثِقْتٌ أَوْ سُقْتٌ. The individual who has a pregnancy, a child, a fetus, passing away and coming out of the womb, even before delivery. That's a miscarriage. A man has his wife having a miscarriage, or a woman actually has a miscarriage. What is the virtue? What is the reward? How does Islam, how does it pacify these women? How does Islam pacify them? How does it promise them succor? What do they stand to gain as Muslim men and women? The first hadith we read is the hadith of Sa'al ibn al-Hadaliyah, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was in the battle of Uhud. He was in Bayatul Ridwan. He had very, very great impact positively amongst the Muslims. And he was known to be full of worship. Like we said, the ulama say kana mutawahida. He was always alone. Qallama yujalisu nas. You only found him literally mixing with people and sitting down to gist and talk and pastime. He was always involved in salat. He was always involved in tasbih, in takbir. And then he returns to his family. Yet, وَكَانَ لَا يُولَدُ لَهُ. He still did not have a child. And he would always say that لَأَنْ يُولَدَ لِيَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَلَدُ سَقْتٌ. That even that a miscarriage was had for him, radiallahu anhu fa'ahtasibu, so that he would have to be patient and anticipate rewards from Allah. أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لِيَ الدُّنْيَا جَمِيعًا وَمَا فِيهَا. He prefers it. He said, that is better for me than having the entirety of this dunya and all that it contains. It goes to make us understand how importantly rewarding it is that an individual will have a miscarriage, a child stillborn in the womb, and then the person will be patient over that. It's a thing of a big reward. If we come back to the next hadith, hadith number 153, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا محمد بن سلام قال أخبرنا أبو معاوية قال حدثنا الأعمش عن إبراهيم التيمي عن الحارث بن سويد عن عبد الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أيكم مال وارثه أحب إليه من ماله أيكم مال وارثه أحب إليه من ماله؟ قالوا يا رسول الله ما منا من أحد إلا ماله أحب إليه ما لوارثه. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: اعلموا أنه ليس منكم أحد إلا مال وارثه أحب إليه من ماله. مالك ما قدمت ومال وارثك ما أخرت. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from one of the first of those from whom he left, and that was Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salam Al-Tikandi. Muhammad ibn Salam Al-Tikandi was one of the first major teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and this hadith has come from him, from Muhammad ibn Salam Al-Tikandi. He said, أَخْبَرَنَا أَبُو مُعَاوِيَا قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا الْأَعْمَشِ. Al-Imam al-Bikandi was reporting from his Shaykh Abu Muawiyah, who was also reporting from Al-Imam al-A'mash. Al-Imam al-A'mash was Sulaiman ibn Mihran. Al-Imam al-A'mash was Sulaiman ibn Mihran. He was a great scholar of hadith and a great scholar of fiqh, and also a great scholar of tafsir and qira'atul Quran. He was reporting from Ibrahim al-Taymi, that Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Taymi, Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Taymi, Abu Asma al-Kufi. Al-Imam Ibrahim Yazid al-Taymi, there were two of them, Ibrahim ibn Yazid. Fortunately, they occur in the same tabaqah, in the same level amongst those who report ahadith. There was Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Dakhahi, al-Kufi also. There was also Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Tamimi, he's also al-Kufi. But al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Taymi, he is Abu Asma. So al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Taymi was Abu Asma al-Kufi. He's reporting from the Tabi'i al-Harith ibn Suwayd. And it was al-Harith ibn Suwayd who has reported this hadith from eminent companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Abu Rahman Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This hadith was reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam by one of the most learned people, mutlaqan, in this ummah. Generally speaking, in the entirety of the ummah, one of the most learned persons was the companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Abd al-Rahman. He was the companion from whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked to hear the Quran. He would tell him, read the Quran to me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would listen to the qira'ah, to the reading of the Quran, by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And he had, radiallahu anhu, over 79 chapters of the Quran that he received directly, mouth to mouth, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Mas'ud learned the Quran directly from the mouth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he became so perfect in it that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, man farrahu an yaqra' al-Qur'ana raghsan kama anzala aw kama unzila falyaqra bikira'ati ibn Ummi Abd. Whoever desires to read the Qur'an as in exactly as the Qur'an was reading, especially in a sweet rotban, freshly, as the Quran was revealed, فَلْيَقْعَ بِكِرَاءَةِ إِبْنِ أُمِّ عَبْدٍ. Let him read in the way that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud ibn Ummi Abd would read the Quran. So Ibn Ummi Abdin was the perfect, nice recital of the Quran. The Prophet called our attention to, you want to read the Quran, من سره أن يقرأ القرآن رصدا كما أنزل. Whoever is delighted, whoever will be pleased to recite the Quran, rostan kama unzila, in a sweet, fresh manner as it was revealed, fal yaqra' bi qira'ati ibn Rumi Abdin. Let such a person recite the Quran, following the recitation of Ibn Rumi Abdin. And the ulama will say that the first person to recite the Quran aloud in Makkah, the days when the Messenger alayhi salat wa salam started to deliver the message, was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He was even reported to be among the first six persons, min as-sabiqin al-awwal, among the first six, foremost from those who accepted Islam, was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We had Abu Bakr Siddiq among the elders. We had Ali ibn Abi Talib amongst the young people. We had Khadija bint Khuwaylid amongst the women. We had Uthman bin Affan. We had Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. We had Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. These are the foremost amongst those who accepted Islam amongst the prophets. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was amongst them. Radiallahu anhu. He is the one who is reporting this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet asked the people, and that was one of his ways to teach the people. Sometimes he made a statement and he would repeat it. He would repeat the statement. And sometimes he would touch to call the attention. He would touch the person to call their attention, or grab his hands, or raise his voice. We had mentioned a number of these teaching approach that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam employed to teach the people. Sometimes he would raise his voice, and sometimes he would lower his voice. He employed that when he spoke about Al-Nusayf al-Dajjal. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam was the teacher who perfected the art of conveying message to the people. One of the ways he did that, alayhi salatu wasalam, was to ask the people about a matter he wanted to tell them about. So here he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ayyukum malu warithihi ahabdu ilayhi min malihi. Ayyukum malu warithihi ahabdu ilayhi. Mimalihi, who amongst you is it that malu warithihi, the wealth, the possessions that he would leave behind for his heirs? The heirs are those who will inherit you, your wives, your children, and other connected relatives who are entitled to something from your inheritance. Who is it that the property of these people, those who are entitled to your inheritance, who is it that the what belongs to these people is dearer to him, mimalihi, than his own possession? Who is it that the possession of his children, the possession of those who are entitled to inherit from him, who is that person whose love for the possession of his children, who will inherit him and other relatives, who is it who will like these property, these possessions, than malihi, his own possession? Who is it that likes his own possession less, but he likes the possession of his, those who will inherit him more, his heirs? He prefers their own possession to his own. The Prophet asks that question. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qalu ya Rasulallah, ma minna min ahadin illa maluhu ahabu ilayhi min mali warithihi. The answered Messenger of Allah, ma minna min ahadin. There is not anyone amongst us illa maluhu ahabu ilayhi min mali warithihi, except that his wealth is dearer to him, is more pleasing to him than the possession of those who will inherit him. The prophet asked, who is it whose wealth is of a less place in his mind compared to the wealth of his children and those who will inherit him, the inheritors? They said, the messenger of Allah, there is not anyone amongst us except that he likes his own wealth much more than the wealth of those who will inherit. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Thereupon, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا مَالُهُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِهِ. You all should recognize this fact. اِعْلَمُوا. You should note this point. أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا مَالُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِهِ. You should note this fact that there is no one amongst you except that مَالُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِهِ. Except that the wealth belonging to those who will inherit him is dearer to him than his own wealth. They said, no, we all love our wealth, our possessions, more than the possessions of our inheritors. The prophet said, no, all of you, you all love your possessions. You all love the possessions of your inheritors, the wealth, the property, the house, the money, the farmland, the cars of your children who will inherit you. You love it more than your own. So they will be surprised, because this is a basic rule about human beings. Ordinarily, we love what we have. If a man has a house, he likes it. If a man owns an entire land estate, he likes it. If a man owns a farmland, he likes it, and he likes to keep it. But his liking it and wishing to keep it is like giving preference to the wealth and the possession of your inheritors than yours. How does that be? The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma qaddamta, ma luka ma qaddamta. Your own possessions are those ones that you have placed forward. Your possessions are those ones that qaddamta wa fi sabilillah. Your true possessions, the true things that you own, your own property, your real estate, as if to say, my own house is a house that I have given up fi sabilillah. My money that truly belongs to me is the one that I have spent fi sabilillah, not the one that I have in my account. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, wa malu wa arithika ma akharta. The wealth that belongs to those who will inherit you are those ones that you have not spent for the sake of Allah. The one you have spent for the sake of Allah, that those are your own. Those are the ones that truly, truly belong to you. Why? Because you have spent it for the sake of Allah. The reward is for you for the sake of Allah. Allah will keep the rewards for you. Allah told us in the Quran, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. مَا تُقَدِّمُوا. Whatever you put forward, whatever you spend for the sake of Allah, the sadaqah that you provide, the help that you provided, the gift that you gave, the assistance that you rendered, the support that you provided, these are the things that belong to you. These are the things that belong to you. Ma tuqatim. Any one of these, and their brothers and sisters, even if it be a dead seed. That is what I mean. Just one seed of Dabinu, as we know it, is what you give for the sake of Allah. Tajiduhu inda Allah. You will find it with Allah. Huwa khaira. You will find it far better than you have given it. You gave a dead seed, but you will find it far better with Allah than you have given it. Tajiduhu inda Allah. Huwa khaira. You will find it with Allah in a manner that is far better than what you have given. So, ma tuqaddimu li anfusikum, what you give for yourself, what you preserve for yourself, that is what actually belongs to you. What you have given for the sake of Allah is the thing that truly belongs to you. The one that you have not been given for the sake of Allah, that one belongs to your children and wives or relatives who will inherit you. If a man has, for example, 10 million naira in his account this morning, he has not spent it for the sake of Allah. If he passes away this morning, who owns that wealth? You see now, that wealth will belong to his heirs. It will belong to his inheritors. Those who will share the property when he passes away, it belongs to them from the moment that he passes away. But if a man spends 10 million naira for the sake of Allah this morning, that 10 million naira is recorded for him, belonging to him with Allah. And he shall meet it with Allah in the most beautiful of forms. Allah rewards in manifolds of 10, in manifolds of hundreds, in manifolds of thousands. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he told us in a hadith collected by the Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that whoever gives anything, even if it be a little seed of Dabinu, he gives it for the sake of Allah. Yaqbaluhu Rahmanu biyadi. Ar-Rahman, Allah will accept that sadaqah that he gave biyaminihi with his right hand. And Allah will nurture that sadaqah. He will nurture it gradually until it becomes like the size of ounce of wood. If you give a seed of dabinu and Allah receives it with his own hand, is it not sufficient thing of virtue for you that you gave something with your own hand, with your human hand, full of defects, and then Allah Rahman, who gave you the hand, he receives it with his own hand that is even beyond your own imagination. You give something with your own human hand, and Allah receives it with his own hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he nurtures it for you. If an investment company approaches you and says, invest 1 million, in 6 months you gain 15 million, if they say so, for example, that's more than 100%. Many of us will investigate how true is it. Once it is true, in fact, the person who calls for investment will have sufficient investment. But how about how many days of Dabinu will you take out from Mount Ofrit? Is it 100%? 200%? 300%? How many days of Dabinu will you put together to make Mount Ofrit? And Allah says, if you keep a date, I will nurture it for you, that investment. I will nurture it for you until it will be bigger than Mount Ofrit. So if you give 1 million for the sake of Allah, what will you get back from it? So there are 1 million and all of what you will get back from it, that is what truly belongs to you. That is what you have done. That is what is recorded for you. But if you keep that 1 million and you pass away, it only belongs to your children. Now look at it. If your child inherits 1 million from you and gives that 1 million in sadaqah, the reward is for your child, not for you. You will only have reward of a good father. But that 1 million, the reward of 1 million in sadaqah belongs to your child, not you. That was why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is common with the people is that لَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا مَالُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مَالِهِ. What is common with us is that we like to keep the money. We don't like to spend it. Meaning that what we are keeping, what is with us, which belongs to our inheritors, our heirs, our children, who will inherit, we want to keep it. We want to save it. We want to have it instead of spending it for the sake of Allah and truly owning it. We want to keep it. This is the basic human nature. But the Quran and the Sunnah encourages us to spend. The Prophet told Bilal, radiallahu anhu, says, Ya Bilal, Oh Bilal, spend wala takhafu min ar-Rahman ikhlala wala takhafu min zil arsh ikhlala. Don't fear that the one who owns the mighty arsh will give you small when you spend small. No, he will give you big when you spend small. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maluka ma qaddamta. Your wealth is not what you have in the bank. It is what you have spent for the sake of Allah that you truly own. Wa malu warithika ma akharta. Malu warithika ma akharta. And what actually belongs to your family, your heirs, your inheritors, is the one that you have saved somewhere. You have kept somewhere. It truly belongs to your relatives. Like we just mentioned, if you have an opportunity to give 1,000 naira in sadaqa, you don't give it, and you pass away, you still have that 1,000 naira in your account. And then your son inherits that 1,000 naira. If he gives that 1,000 naira in sadaqa, the reward of the sadaqa belongs to your child, not you. So prefer to do the sadaqa now. Don't say you are establishing a foundation. When you die, your children will carry on. When they inherit your wealth, whatever they do of goodness is for them. Do it for yourself now that you are alive. Spend now that you are alive. Do the sadaqa for yourself now that you are alive. Don't wait until you die. How about parents who will pass away, and the first trouble the children would have is how to distribute the wealth? We have seen very, very rich individuals in our country. Some of the richest people in our country have died, and their children are still fighting over how to distribute the property. How about if the man had given his property out in the first place in sadaqa? As much as he could give. It means he would have been richer in the hereafter than he is now. We have people, some people died 10, 15 years ago. Their children are still in the courts about how to distribute the property. Some of the property are even dilapidated now. If you are old enough, any person with from the age 45 down will know what I'm saying now. Some of the richest people in the country passed away, and their children are still not able to distribute their wealth. Why you not invest this same wealth over with your children? Make quarrel. Spend it now for the sake of Allah and earn the rewards. So that you know that your wealth, which is what you have placed forward, is dearer to you than what you leave behind. Meaning that what we spend for the sake of Allah is dearer to us than what we leave behind. There's a question we will ask before we move to the next hadith. What is the connection between this hadith and talking about miscarriages? Many of the scholars have tried to provide answers. What is the connection? The ulama say that a person has a miscarriage from his wife, a man and a wife. The wife has 6-7 months of pregnancy, and then the child passes away. It is like property that you already put forward. It is like a goodness you already put forward. It is like a thing of good that has gone forward before you. Just like you spend your money for the sake of Allah before you go and meet it when you pass away. So if a man has a miscarriage from his wife, it is like a man and a woman have placed something forward. They will go and meet. They had placed patience forward. They had placed hope and anticipation in the rewards of Allah over the death of the child who had passed away before them. That child had gone before them. So it's like the sadaqa you place in place in front before you go in the hereafter, because the child died before them. And Allah did what he liked regarding the child. So it's like you are placing something, spending money, putting money ahead of you before you go to your grave to meet the rewards of your good deeds. They say this is the connection between this hadith and the chapter heading that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has chosen for this hadith. They draw a similitude because our children are from the things that we owe. So if it happens that the way Allah wills it, the person loses the child from a miscarriage, we disassociate, he has done sadaqah. And to be better understood from how much of sober patience, perseverance, and hope in the rewards that he will have. So this hope in the rewards, this patience over Allah's preordainment, is as if he has placed ahead of him a lot of money, a lot of possessions for sadaqah. This is what, and the connection that they have drawn between this hadith and the chapter heading that we have read to us. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reported that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking the people, أَيُّكُمْ مَالُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِفَارِهِ, who is it that the wealth of his inheritors, those who will inherit him, who is it, who is that person who likes their wealth, مِنْ مَالِهِ, than his own wealth? قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, he said, O Messenger of Allah, مَا مِنَّا مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا مَالِهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِفَارِهِ وَارِثِهِ, there is not anyone amongst us except that his own wealth is dearer to him than the wealth of his children and relatives who will inherit him. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, counteracting their answer, that the truth is that laysa minkum ahadun illa malu warithihi ahabu ilayhi min malihi, there is not anyone amongst you except that malu warithihi, the wealth of his possessions of those who will inherit him, are dearer to him than his own possession. How? Maluka ma qaddamta, because your own wealth is what you have spent. So if what you have given, what you have spent, is not dearer to you than what you have, or if you are not a person who likes to spend and keep wealth in the air, then it means that what you are keeping your account now, you are only nurturing it for your children. Once you drop and go, and death has no time for anybody. Sometimes when we talk about things like this, people will say, sukwapa, sukwapa, God forbid. If you say God forbid, you go and draw a decibel of 100. You start shouting, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. If the preordainment of Allah upon you is to die immediately after you say number 100 of God forbid, you will die after number 100 of God forbid. We all pray for long life. May Allah grant us long life. May Allah preserve us from. May Allah make goodness easy for us. May Allah make acts of sin hateful to us. Make us from those who love Iman. But the truth about death for each and every one of us is that it has no established time that we know. The established time for the death of each of us is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's with Allah subhanahu. How many people would we meet now? By the next moment we heard that they had passed away. So death comes to anybody anytime. So don't say, oh, you will wait to spend your hundreds of millions, billions. No, only Allah knows. Even the thousands, because many times when we speak about spending it for the sake of Allah, people think that is for the rich men. If you have 1,000 naira, you can spend 500 from it, you can spend 200 from it, you can spend what? After you take care of your basic needs, your home needs, your wives, your children, as we have always been discussing in this class, whatever is left over, you spend from it. Even a day, see, Davino, you can spend Davino. You can give Davino as a gift. So this is from the aspects of not underrating any kind of gift. That's why you say, whatever you spend. So many times people think, it's talking about rich men. It's talking about all of us. Because we all have something to spend. We all have got something to spend. For the sake of Allah, let us be from among those who give. So that it will be clear that the world of our own world is dearer to us than the world of our relatives. The isnad of this hadith has related two other hadiths. Some of the scholars say that they are together as a single hadith. They have just been broken by Imam al-Bukhari into different numbers. And some of them said that, no, it is the same isnad. But instead of repeating the isnad, Imam al-Bukhari just brought those ahadith. So hadith number 154 and 155 is what we صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما تعدون فيكم الرقوب ما تعدون فيكم الرقوب قال الرقوب الذي لا يولد له قال لا ولكن الرقوب الذي لم يقدم ولده شيئا عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه also said that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking the people ma ta'uduna fiikum ar-raqub what do you people consider amongst you as ar-raqub what is ar-raqub in your understanding ma ta'udu what do you consider to be ar-raqub amongst you who is ar-raqub linguistically ar-raqub huwa alladhi لا يبقى له ولد. A rakub is a person who does not have a child after him. He has children, but all of them pass away. Or he didn't even have a child at all. A person who is dying and has not left behind any child. A man. Arabs refer to such men as what? A rakub. So the Prophet asked them, who is a rakub amongst you? Ar-Raqub linguistically refers to a man who passes away and when he is dying, he does not have any child. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah preserve our children. May Allah protect our children. But dear brothers, this is a reality some of the people have suffered or they have experienced. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she died away, nothing, she didn't have any child. And many others in the history of Islam. I have always ever remembered the Tabi'i, Muhammad ibn Siri. And his case is troublesome. Rahimahullah. He had 41 children. 41. 40 died before he died. 40 of his children. Only one of them, Ahmad, was alive after him. So these are things that have happened to people. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah protect our children. May Allah preserve us all from weakness. But when it happens, there is no stopping it. May Allah protect all of us. So what do we do? If it happens to a person, his children pass away before him, Arabs will call that kind of a person a rakub. Arabs refer to a man whose children all passed away before him. They refer to him as a rakub. If it were a woman, they also would refer to her as a rakub. So the Prophet asked the people, ma ta'uduna fikum rakub? What do you consider as a rakub amongst you? Qalu, a rakub alladhi la yulad lahu. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, a rakub is the one that La yulad lahu. He has no child. He was no child was given birth for him. Qala Allah. The Prophet said, no, that is not a rakub. Walakin ar-rakub. The Prophet said, the real rakub, the person who should be seen as a rakub, alladhi lam yuqaddim min waladihi shay'a. A rakub is the one who has not had. Has not had any child pass away before him. That is the rakub. Instead of considering the rakub to be the one whose child all passed away, the Prophet said, no, the real rakub is the one who has all his children, no one has got. That makes us understand that when a man has a child pass away, or in miscarriage, or is stillborn, this kind of a person has tremendous reward, and they are not to be looked down upon. They are not to be disgraced. They are not to be abused. And that when we have all our children with us, we should understand that that's a favor from Allah. We have a duty over our children to be sure that our children are rightly treated, they're rightly, appropriately nurtured and educated according to the dictates of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, who in the first place gave us these children. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the people, Ma daruduna tikum arrahud. What is it that you consider amongst you as arrahud? Qalu, the companions answered that, arrahud alladhi la yulabhahu. The arrahud is a person who doesn't have a child behind him. He's not leaving behind any child. He didn't have a child that would be coming behind him, that was born of him at all. Qalala, the Prophet said, no, don't consider that kind of a person as a rakub. Walakinna rakub alladhi lam yuqaddim waladihi shay'a. A rakub is the one who has not placed in front of him any of the child. A rakub is the one who none of his children has passed away before him. So this is a kind of a tasliya, a sukkah, a provision for encouragement, a way of pacifying those who have children pass away before they now pass away. There are many others who have had to persevere over this hardship. So there are a lot of rewards connected to that. The next hadith after that, with the same isnad of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, it said that Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma ta'udduna fiikum surah. You see his approach. The first one he asked about Malu al-insan wa Malu al-fi. He asked about the individual and the wealth of those who inherit him. Which of them do you like best? They say, oh, we all like our own wealth more than the wealth of our children. They know most of you like the wealth of your children more than your own. What you have spent is the one that is your own. What you are keeping belongs to your children. He asked them again, who is Ar-Rakub? The Rakub is the one who is not having any child behind him. Say, no, the Rakub is the one who has not actually had a child dying before him. That's Ar-Rakub. In this case, he's asking, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ma ta'uduna fiikum sura'a. Who is that person? As-sura'atu huwa alladhi la yuqlab. A person who is never thrown down in a fight. You can't overrun him. As-sura'a. So the person said, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who do you consider amongst you as a surah, as a person who is never overrun? If you fight him, he defeats you. If you box him, he will box you. If you wrestle him, he will bring you down. Who is this person? He is never overrun by anyone. Qalu huwa alladhi la tasra'u ar-rijal. He is the individual that the men who are strong did not be able to bring him down in a fight. The Prophet said, no, that is not a surah. He said, وَلَكِنَّ surah الَّذِي يَبْهِكُ نَفْسَهُ إِنَّ الْغَضُبُ. A surah, the one who is strong, the one who can bring down everybody, is the one who يَبْهِكُ نَفْسَهُ إِنَّ الْغَضُبُ, is the one who can control يَبْهِكُ. He has authority over himself at the time of anger. He didn't say he will not get angry. I always say this, people think that, oh, don't get angry. No, it's not about being angry or not. It's like saying, don't get hungry. It's not possible that the individual never becomes hungry. He would become hungry. He would become thirsty. These are from the things that Allah has created with every human being. So being angry, yes, the individual can be angry, like يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ إِنْ دَلْغَدَ. He is able to control his. He has authority over his soul at the time of anger. This is the truly strong person. The person who is able to bring down the people is the one who is able to control his anger at the time of an anger fit. I call it a fit. May Allah protect all of us. Ulama asking this particular hadith, what is its connection to the chapter head? Its connection to the chapter head is that when the individual loses a child, is able to control the miscarriage. The woman is able to control herself. The man is able to control herself. These are from the people of strength and energy. These are the truly strong people. Those those who are able to control themselves, who will not be crying and shouting. And niyaha is a major sin in the Sharia. Shouting and crying and slapping the face and saying words of evil. These are things that are common. Yesterday, after we finished the class in the morning about people who have miscarriages, Ibera was telling me that he has a divorce. Only Allah knows the number of miscarriages that she has had. Almost every 3-4 months, you see that yes, the woman is pregnant. But in another 1 month, again, the pregnancy has come. May Allah pacify all those who have this condition and grant them mercy in this world and mercy hereafter. May Allah forgive each and every one of us and protect us and protect our children. Make us be from those who like to love our own world than the world of our children. And loving our own world more than the world of our children is that we will be giving. Even if it be that the spending is upon your children. When you spend upon the children, it's from the sadaqah. So don't think that some ustaz wants you to bring your money to them. No, spend it on your children. Spend it upon your wives. Spend it upon your relatives. Many of the people are stingy regarding their relatives. So no ustaz says bring the money to one program or bring the money to a mosque or bring. No, spend it upon yourself. Spend it upon your relatives, your wives, your near ones, your neighbors. We have read about all these people. Your parents. So when you spend it, you have a reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And spend it for the one who asks you. It's sa'ili wal mahroom. As-sa'il, someone comes to you, for the sake of Allah, give me. Give him. Give him for the sake of Allah. May Allah protect each and every one of us and forgive each and everyone. I think for the remnant of the time that we have, we can take a few questions.
نعم جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخنا بيّر الله وجهكم. The first question is, what about someone who has ectopic pregnancy and they had to remove it through operation? Will the person have the same reward as miscarriage?
Yes, the person is in the category of those whoever has any kind of a difficult pregnancy, not just ectopic. Pregnancies come with a lot of difficulties. May Allah reward women for this. If you have your wife pregnant, wallahi, if you are a human being, you'll be feeling the pregnancy yourself as a man. Wallahi, it's a very, very difficult time. Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri, when he talked to Rahimahullah, he would say that is there any sickness worse than pregnancy? Some of the women from the first day of pregnancy, they will fall into difficulty, vomiting, spitting, sleeping, rising, and all of this, until the day of delivery. Until the day of delivery. I know a woman from the 3 months before delivery, she will be on the bed. Always bed, legs tied up, and all of this. Allah reward women for this. Allah says, Hamalat ko ummu kura. When the woman carried the pregnancy of the child, it is kura, out of hardship and difficulty. Why is it that child bearing, delivering a child is called labor? L-A-B-O-U-R. The same name you use for hardship, hard work. When a man is sentenced to prison, they say it's giving 10 years of imprisonment and 15 years of with hard labor. Why is it that delivery, child delivery, is given the same name as hard work? A woman will deliver a child and it will be as if she was going to die on that day. I have seen it before. I go into maternity room with women when they deliver. If my home is delivering, I enter into the room, labor room with them, I see them, I know what I'm saying firsthand. Wallahi, it's as if a woman will die. Now, how about sometimes when women have cuts? They have to tear them up with razor blade. Wallahi, it's a big reward. If you remember this, you will not oppress your wife. Pregnancy is a big thing. Delivery is a bigger one. May Allah reward the women for this big job. if a woman has no job in the world except this, it is sufficient. Some feminists, and I make bold to say, feminists will say people have, male chauvinists, as they call other people, have turned women to delivery van. Is delivery not enough? It's self-sufficient. If you combine the entire labor of pregnancy and the entire labor of labor to deliver the child itself, is it not sufficient than a man's year's job? Compare 9 months of working hard by a man with 9 months of pregnancy. Which one is bigger? Which one is bigger? 9 months of pregnancy. Compare it with 9 months of working in an office. You sit down under your AC. They bring you tea, meat pie, and all of this. All you need to do is drive down to the office. If you're a big man, you even have a driver who will drive you to the office. That day's job, compare it with the hardship and difficulty that your wife at home will face. So it's not a thing of insult in Islam, that Islam considers it enough for a woman that her job is to bear the pregnancy and deliver the child. And for that, the entirety of her responsibility must be taken care of by the man who took responsibility for this woman. That's why the Quran says, وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ عَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ. The one for whom a woman undergoes this kind of a hardship, this kind of labor, عَلَيْهِ, he has upon him رِزْقُهُنَّ, the duty to provide for the entirety. Rizq is mufradun. Hunna is, it has an idafa, so you can see it is mufradun. Every need of that woman, rizqu hunna wa kiswatuhunna. Likewise, everything that the woman wear, bil ma'ruf, in a nice manner. So it is sufficient. When they say, oh, you turn the woman to kitchen, yes, the job of the kitchen, is it an easy job? Is it an easy thing for a man to cook? So if Islam restricts the woman to, please don't burden the woman after she bears the trouble in the kitchen, after she bears the trouble of pregnancy, after she bears the trouble of labor. You now say as soon as she delivers that child, she should put that child at the back and start running after buses and cars, running after to try to eat food and drink water again. What kind of man are you? And if you are a woman who likes this kind of trouble, what kind of woman are you? Allah has removed these burdens from you, but you still want to draw it upon your head. The burden of carrying pregnancy and the burden of delivering a child is enough burden. That's why, no matter how beautiful you marry her at 16, no matter how beautiful you marry her at 17, no matter how beautiful you marry her at 18, let her deliver 2-3 children. The scars of child delivery will make you see the difference. When a woman delivers a child, it's clearly in her that she's not the same person you married at that 16 you talk about. So she has suffered this kind of hardship. You now push her out again to be running from one office to another. Or she herself prefers running from one office to another after this hardship that Allah has not placed her to run for what she will eat. May Allah protect each and every one of us. If a woman carries pregnancy and loses the pregnancy due to miscarriage or due to any serious medical condition, the pregnancy has to be removed. She waits to get tremendous rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as she is patient over that trial. And as long as she hopes the rewards of Allah over that trial. I hope that this is clear, Abu Yusuf. I hope you don't consider it as a part B of another lecture. It just makes me feel that the woman deserves attention sufficiently. Pregnancy is enough with labor. May Allah reward our women for this huge service to humanity and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now,
assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Jazakumullah khairan shaykhan. I was actually out of the class. I don't know if you have attended to some of the questions.
Just go on. I've only answered the one you asked.
Okay. Is this the only woman that will enjoy and benefit from the reward of a miscarriage? What about the man who offers her emotional support and delight?
Yes, they're both of them. We have mentioned that repeatedly in the class. The support of a man is not just emotional. I just ended that too. It's fully financial, it's emotional, it's educational, it's everything. The husband to a wife is more than emotional support. No man should think that all he needs to provide his wife is emotions. I love you. Take it easy. No, it is more than that. It is more than that. Her financial needs too are upon you as a man. Most men these days are becoming far less responsible than they should be. Everything your wife needs is everything you provide for her. Her needs, her job, needs of maintenance, needs of accommodation. Some men will still be asking women to contribute money to rent a house. What kind of a husband are you? If you told her parents that you both be contributing money to rent a house, would they have given her to you as a wife? So you presented yourself as a responsible man, but what you are doing is not appropriate. Brothers, don't share home rent with your wives. Please, it's your duty. Likewise, school fees, children, and all of this, food. If a woman gives it now, but don't say, oh, wife, we have to put it on the table. You take 50%, I take 50%. As far as Islam is concerned, it is not from the aspect of responsibility. Allah says, Askinu Allah Haizu Sakantum in Wujidiku. House them, provide them accommodation. So these are the duties of a man. It is beyond emotions. So when a man is like this, all the rewards too that come when she has miscarriage, as the woman shares in it, he has in it too. May Allah provide the women who have suffered these hardships. May Allah provide them succor and grant them patience. Now, Abu Yusuf, there's a question here about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged him to leave sufficient money for his children so that they do not go about begging people. If you look at the entirety of this hadith, it does not contradict what we are discussing at all. We have not said today that don't leave property for your children. We have not said so. We have not said don't leave property for your children to inherit at all. No, that's not what we are saying. But what we are saying is that you should prefer also to spend for yourself. Don't, because of wanting to keep for them, makes you not spending for yourself. Because what you spend is for yourself. So, I want to keep in case I die. I want to keep in case I die. That's the reason why you can't keep further. In fact, for some people, it even prevents them to spend upon those children and the wives. Say, okay, let me keep it for you because of tomorrow. Spend it upon him now. And then leave whatever Allah for your debts. So, what we are saying is that the zeal to keep should not prevent us from spending. The zeal to keep should not prevent us from spending. It is not saying that don't keep. The zeal to keep as much should not now become the reason why you have spent only little. You have not spent good enough money for yourself, for your hereafter. And I explained also during the class that even what we spend upon our children makes from this. Islam only prohibits hoarding wealth. From the things we know that Islam prohibits hoarding wealth is that it says if you keep a particular amount of money for 1 year, bring 2.5% from it. How is that? Islam does not want you. You alone have the money in thousands or millions or billions or whatever. You are not spending anything from it. Pay zakat from it. So this is another discouragement for piling wealth without spending it. So that's all. It's not saying don't keep money or property for your children to inherit. I hope that that is clear and sharp.
Now.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaykum as-salam. Can we have one more question?
Now this one says, how about a woman? How about woman who insists on wanting to work, despite the husband capable for providing all her needs?
The husband has that decision. If he sees that her working, running about pole to post, despite the fact that the needs are provided, is affecting her basic duty at home, the husband has the right to prevent her. And she does not have any right to go out of the house if the husband so decides. She does not even have a right to now become disobedient wife that, oh, you say I should not go to work, I will show you Pepe. This is not from the symbol of a good wife. If your husband stops you from going, when your needs are met, that's all. That's all. That's all. Stay at home. And now let me say this. Even if a man is not meeting the entire needs of a woman, because you cannot meet the entire needs of a woman. You cannot meet the entire needs of a woman. The Prophet did not, alayhi salatu wasalam, meet the entire needs of a woman. The woman is always needing anything. That's why the Quran says, bil ma'ruf, upon balance. If you meet her needs, balance, at least minimum acceptable needs, okay? Yes, this is good enough in the community. It does not say you must fulfill. She wants to buy bag and shoe today, tomorrow bag and shoe, next tomorrow bag and shoe. Or she wants to rebuild the house. She wants to all of this. You can't meet the full needs of a woman. But what the Sharia says is bil ma'ruf, the basic things. You can maintain her. She can eat food. You can provide her accommodation. You can clothe her. You can take care of her family needs within your ability. That's okay. When the man is not able to do all this, the Quran says the woman should be patient. Allah says, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِنْ سَعَةٍ. The billionaire, the millionaire, spend a lot to your wife from what Allah has given you, from the opulence you have gained from Allah. Spend from that much to Allah, to your children and your family for the sake of Allah. وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ. And whoever has only a little, قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, we have only given him little from the wealth. فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ. Let him also spend from that little. When you provide for your wife, from that little, according to that little, Allah has not placed a burden to spend much upon a man who only has little. The man who earns little today, inshallah, tomorrow he will earn much. Look at the words. The Quran did not say women should go out and start running from pole to pole. So if a woman, after she gains the basic provision from a man, insists that she wants to go out and still start working, the husband has the right to prevent her. I think I will end with this narration. One of our far, far bigger brothers, he told me that one of his wives wanted to work. He's a multimillionaire, sorry to say, but that's the blunt truth. So he asked her how much. She did the interview and everything. So he asked her, how much is the salary? Take, for example, 50,000 naira. She said, he said, okay, I'll be paying you 100,000 naira per month. But don't go. I'll be paying to your account 100,000 every month. Brothers, did we get this instance? A woman wants to work. The husband allowed her to do all the interview, running around. After the interview, they gave her the letter of appointment. The salary, for example, was 50,000 naira. The husband doubled the salary and said, okay, instead of running around going to those people, me, I employ you in my house. I'll be paying you 100,000 naira. The woman still refused. She still wants to go and be earning 50,000 naira and running from pole to post. So you see, sometimes it's not about the money. It's about the mindset. It's about, I just want to go out of the house. It's about, I just want to do as my friends are doing. And most of these things, Allahu A'lam, they corrupt women a lot. When you allow your wife to mix with everybody, then she can get anything. from anywhere too. May Allah protect all of us. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today, inshallah. This Allah will be continuing our class about dealings with our servants, our subordinates. Those are the next group of people that will be relating with our servants, our subordinates at work, and those we employ to do particular works for us. You need a carpentry job at home, you brought a carpenter. How should you relate with that carpenter? And so on. This Allah will continue from here in our next class. I think we can stop here, Abu Wadar.
Jazakumullah khair, ya Shaykhani.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.